In victory or defeat, true fans never quit. Champions are made by the fans. That's why 5-Hour Energy is adding a new limited edition Stand the Fan 5-Hour Energy Shot to their roster. Fuel your team's spirit with a taste as sweet as an overtime win. Packed with an all-star lineup of B vitamins, nutrients, and 230 milligrams of caffeine, it keeps you feeling energized, loud, and proud all game long. Check out 5hourenergy.com to grab your Stand the Fan Shot today.
It's better over here. After investing billions to light up our network, T-Mobile is America's largest 5G network. Plus, right now, you can switch, keep your phone, and we'll pay it off up to $800. See how you can save on every plan versus Verizon and AT&T at T-Mobile.com/keep and switch.
Up to 4 lines via virtual prepaid card. Allow 15 days. Qualifying unlocked device credit service ported 90 plus days with device and eligible carrier and timely redemption required. Card has no cash access and expires in 6 months.
Well, good morning to you. Unless it's, you know, Sixers land, and it's bad morning to you because they are a disaster. Now, what to do with Joel obviously is a hot button topic. There's no question about that. You know, it's made complicated by the reality that they did sign Paul George. They do have him for a number of years. And if they wanted to trade Joel, they'd probably then want to trade Paul George, but that wouldn't be easy to do. Let's get an update from Nick Nurse after the game last night on Paul George. If you missed it, Paul George got injured early second half. Same knee that he hyperextended early in the preseason. It happened again last night. Here's Nick Nurse after the game last night.
Hyperextension, similar to the preseason. Same knee, I think. Maybe we're going to find out a little bit more tomorrow, obviously, when they check it out to see what the extent of it is. But that's what it was.
Do you know enough right now to be able to rule out structural damage, or is that?
I think so. I think they said it was similar to the last time, which was a bone bruise, I think. Yeah, and they actually did, you know, work him there. He was, again, you never know what happens. He was actually fairly close to coming back in the game, but then it kind of stiffened up as he got, you know, out a little bit more. So they decided not to, and now we got to take a look at it.
All right, so we'll see how long he's out or not. I mean, it was good news to hear that he almost came back in the game, but last time when he had this, he missed, what, 2.5, 3 weeks?
Five. Yeah, five games.
Yeah, I mean, but it was from the start of from during preseason. I mean, he was out for a stretch there, some of which didn't count because it wasn't the regular season. So, all right, anyway, that's the Paul George thing. Look, Embiid was better last night. They still lost. They got close near the end. There was a bad pass, maybe miscommunication, probably miscommunication.
A bad pass by him.
By him. But also, if you play with your teammates, hopefully you know where each other are going to be. He thought a guy was going to be in the corner, and he wasn't. So
maybe you should show up to practice.
Yeah. I know. I agree. I totally agree with that.
And also, in that situation, you are the man. You say everything's on you after the game.
I know.
It to the hoop, man.
Well, you're also down 4 3 with about 35 seconds left would help. So anyway, it's a disaster. And we're asking you today what you would do with Embiid. Are you in or are you out? Now, let me bring it all down a notch here, because I think we need a moment of levity in the midst of our Sixers frustration. And I need help with something that I encountered twice in the last 2 weeks. And I have no idea, guys, what the protocol for this is. And I turn to you and I turn to the listeners.
Okay.
Because I don't know that society has defined this.
Ooh.
Okay.
So we could be the definers, is what you're saying.
Yeah, you could be right or wrong. You might be wrong. Okay. So James, when you go to a restaurant, What do you typically tip for a meal?
Well, so I wait at a lot of tables, mm-hmm. so I'm an aggressive tipper. Mm-hmm. Like, I'm usually 30%.
That's
or
very
so.
Aggressive.
I'm very,
wow.
very. My wife's even, like, my wife tips even more than I would,
that's
and I
really
tip
good.
A lot. Yeah.
Well, good for you. So I'm usually around 20%. I mean, I even if the service stinks, I pretty much never do the 15% thing. And I'll certainly do more than 20 if it's a low bill.
Yeah.
Like, if it's one of those things that's
if it's bad,
12 bucks.
Yeah, I always do
12
that.
12 bucks,
yeah.
You got to give at least $4 or $5. You know, you can't give someone a
I give
dollar.
$5 no matter what the situation is.
Yeah.
Like, five is my bottom.
Sure.
Like, it could be a $5 bill, right. And I'm still going to tip five.
So here's the conundrum I faced twice in recent weeks, and I thought, I got to turn to my people. What do you do at the buffet when the person comes over maybe twice to service your...
No,
hold
on.
Well, forget that.
I don't really go to...
But let's say you do. What do you do at the buffet where someone comes over and hands you the drink and ultimately, I guess, clears the table.
I would
what
leave a $5
do?
Bill on the table.
Ben, what would you do at the buffet? Is $5 too much for that person? Or does that person get
$5? Why are you eating at buffets a lot?
Stop that's going what I do. To this place.
Dude, all you can eat, man, it's one of the greatest things in the world.
Oh, my God. No wonder you have problems.
Are you kidding me?
It depends on how much
I went
the
to the vending
machine.
John, you know I went what? To the vending machine last night. I got
I'm not
10,
gonna validate
I got 10
this.
Cookies at 11:30 a.m.
No, you didn't.
Vending machine.
10 cookies.
10.
Hey, and how did that how'd that go through? Yeah.
How'd that
quickly.
No, I haven't had a problem yet because I went to sleep. Normally when I go to sleep, that delays the exit velocity.
Explosion.
Yes. All right, Ben.
We got to stop using exit velocity.
Ben, what would you do at the buffet? You would leave $5. The person hands you one Coke. They deserve $5?
They clean up your trash, too.
It depends on how much the buffet is. Like, if you're going for, like, you know, all-you-can-eat crab legs or something, and, you know, they refill you a couple times, I'd give them $5 to $10.
Well, what if they come over there one time? What does that person
five
get?
$5.
And that even feels like a lot to me. You know, they hand me a Coke and they get
$5? They have to clean up your trash,
yeah,
too.
They give up your, yeah.
I bet you got disgusting trash on the table, too.
It's the price of going out to eat,
yeah,
though.
You just suck it up.
But they're not really your they're not your waiter.
You have a tray.
I got the food myself. I brought it over. They're not. It's not my waiter. Right. John, what would you do?
I think the tray creates a ceiling. If you carried it over,
yes,
don't be cheap. Don't be cheap.
But James, that person,
these are people working for minimum wage or less in a lot of these cases.
Well, no,
because
maybe
they
not,
get
James.
Tips. All right, well, best minimum wage or something in that range.
No, maybe
range,
maybe they're actually at a higher level because it's not relying on tips. Anyway, I'll ask everyone at 215-592-9494 because it dawned on me recently. I don't think there's any protocol. I do consider myself a good tipper in life. But I don't think there's a
seems
protocol.
Seems like you're not. It seems like you're like an average.
No, I mean, a person hands me a Coke, I got to give you $5? No.
Yeah, three people here said they would. Hey, so.
Well, John Ritchie said no.
Stop drinking.
Okay, so you
Coke
and John can be on your
well,
little cheap island.
No, seriously.
Water. They hand me a lemonade. $5
Look,
for a
your
lemonade.
Your Freudian slips. You are being handed Coke. And you've told us that goes right through you. That
often
physics
does.
You.
Yeah.
You've got problems when you eat that way.
All right.
So why are you eating that way?
All right. Where are
who
you
do
at?
You think stocked the buffet? Santa Claus
somebody,
and his elves?
I do think we are really burying the lead here. You've gone to multiple all-you-can-eat buffets in 2 weeks. What is happening
right
now?
It's what I do, man. That's what I think.
Well, you need to stop it because it's bad for you.
Let's go to the phones. All right, so the Embiid and Sixers mess. The Eagles, what is the solution for the early game offensive issues? Buffet protocol.
You go to buffets? How often are we talking now?
It happens.
It's like a once-a-week activity for you?
It happens.
How often?
Well, it's because we've been at Borgata a lot, and there's a buffet at the Borgata. When I wake up on Friday after my nap, if it's still open, I go there, and it dawned on me a week or two ago, maybe I'm supposed to tip this person that I never tipped. And that's why I'm asking, what do you do? But I walk through the line with the tray.
Okay, I got it.
I stock my tray with the food.
I get it.
So what do you do?
Is $5 really going to break your bank?
No, but it's too much for a lemonade.
Oh, I think it is too.
For cleaning up your trash.
Thank you, John.
How much would someone have to pay you to clean up their trash?
I don't think.
Right? Like
they
flip the tables.
Up his trash.
Hey, clean up my table of trash. How much would that cost?
But Joe is carrying his tray.
Yes.
Back in like dumping it.
All right, let's find out what people think. What do you do at the buffet, plus the bigger issue, Embiid, plus the Eagles? Dennis in Springfield, Corey Clement in about a half an hour. Dennis, good morning.
Yeah, the buffet issue, my thing would be, and I don't go to buffets, but my thing would be you're paying less for the food.
I don't go to buffets.
Another good point, Dennis.
So if you're paying less for the food, you have a few extra dollars to tip.
Yeah, it depends how much you eat. Depends how much you eat. Depends whether you settle in for your fantasy football draft or a great game of Risk for 7 hours.
I haven't been.
Because if you do that, you can get a lot of meals.
For so long.
Ben, I've always wanted to do that. Take a board game to a buffet and just settle
just
in.
Just
oh, my God.
How great would that
just
be?
Just set up shop.
Make it a BYOB and just.
I think they have time limits because of people like you.
I had my friends and I, my teammates and I, were asked to leave an all-you-could-eat We were asked.
That's great.
It was crab. It was all you could eat. Yeah. Last
yeah. I've been there. All you can eat crab legs. Yeah, they sir, came, they sir, came we're out done.
And they said, guys, we don't have any more.
Yeah. I've been there with the crabs.
You ate all of the crab. Your, We've never had this happen before.
God bless you, sir.
You ate all the crab.
All right, Dennis, what do you got Dennis, on Embiid, in or out, Eagles, where do you stand?
Well, on Embiid, out, I'm more out on. I'm older than you guys. And this Sixers team, the whole team forever, has probably had more awful off seasons than any franchise in this city. And this last off season, extending Embiid, signing Paul George, and I know this isn't popular, but passing on Dalton Connect for McCain.
Well, we'll see. They both look good. To be fair, both players look good.
But we could use a small shooting forward more than another point guard. That's all. Yeah,
that's accurate. That's fair.
But I'm down there like every night because I work down there. And the biggest thing a team can do to its fan base is have them not care. And people down there aren't caring anymore. They don't love them. They don't hate them. They're just done. They're fed up. It's
Well, here's what I'll say, Dennis, is the way I'd sum it up. They love the 76ers as a part of our lives, in our heart, in our history, but they don't like this Sixers operation. With the exception of Maxey, the Sixers are not liked. I think Nick Nurse is generally liked, but not respected as much as he was a year ago because he hasn't handled some situations well publicly. Owner not liked. General manager, I don't mean Elton Brand, I mean Daryl Morey. Daryl Morey not liked.
He's still there?
Joel not liked. Paul George not liked or disliked, but people are wary right out of the gate, and the bench is a fiasco.
And I'm going to tell you something else they don't like, because less and less, more and more of them are not showing up. They don't like going to these games and having to eat crap from the other team's fans, because that's happening all the time down there, all the time.
Dennis, give me a great answer. Best female character ever in a sports movie.
All right, I'm going to go with Hilary Swank, Million Dollar Baby.
It's already been said. Give me a different answer.
Been said. Give me Susan Sarandon, Bull Durham.
Great answer.
Oh,
that is,
wow.
That could great be a answer. Winner.
That could win. Winner. That's big. That's
Holy
a really
cow.
I hadn't thought of that.
No, that's wonderful.
Yeah,
wonderful
I like that a lot. All right, I'll tell you what I don't like. The mixed messaging now stemming from this Sixers meeting from two or three nights ago, whatever the last game was. So, we heard what Shams said. And if you don't know what Lou Williams said, we're going to play that in a moment. But I want to break the Shams thing down briefly into the heart of what he said about Joel and Tyrese Maxey. Two pieces of audio from Shams, just getting right to the point that he said. And then we're going to get to what Lou Williams said yesterday. Here's Shams a couple days ago.
Most notable of all that, I was told Tyrese Maxey, the 24-year-old young star, he challenged Joel Embiid, the face of the franchise, the former league MVP, that we need you to be on time for team activities. And that there's a trickle-down effect. When you are missing, when you are tardy, when you are late for what I was told everything, for everything was the line, it has an effect on the rest of the locker room, the rest of the players, the coaching staff.
All right, so that's pretty strong from Shams. I mean, he lays it out in pretty direct detail. Let's continue. Just more perspective of what Shams specifically reported.
From what I'm told, it was kind of like this. Big fella is someone that Tyrese Maxey loves, but this was the elephant in the room, and Tyrese Maxey addressed it. They're very close. They're very close friends. They hold each other accountable. But last night, Tyrese Maxey delivered a message to Joel Embiid that I think a lot of people saw coming for a really long time.
All right, so, John, I'd say at that point, once we heard that, there wasn't confusion. Now, we wondered who leaked it, but there wasn't confusion, at least as it was reported. But now let's get to what Lou Williams said yesterday. He was on a show yesterday, and Lou Williams kind of 180s this a bit. Make of it what you will. It's kind of a game of who do you believe here? What do you think happened? Here's Lou Williams speaking yesterday.
I can give you guys an inside scoop on this thing because one way or another, I ended up on the phone with a few of the guys from the 76ers, and by all accounts, this was kind of blown out of proportion. You know, the idea of Tyrese calling Joel out, and how it's been portrayed in the media as, you know, one of these type of blow up things. You know, from my understanding, they just had a conversation on accountability, just keeping everybody in check. You know, and sometimes you got to have that as a team, just making sure we all on the same page. Hey, bro, we understand you're not going to play in these games, but, you know, team meetings and all of that is important for you to be there. It's important for you to be there on time.
All right, so Lou's basically saying they had a conversation. It was about accountability, but it wasn't as accusatory as the way Shams presented it. Lou Williams then continued. I'll say this. I think Lou contradicts himself a bit. And I love Lou Williams, man. He's my guy. Love Lou Williams, but I think he contradicts himself a bit. Listen to this again. We'll try to ascertain what is really going on here. Here's Lou Williams more yesterday.
It wasn't as much of Tyrese Maxey challenging Joel Embiid as has been stated. You know, it wasn't a conversation about accountability. By all accounts, those guys are doing just fine. They were sitting next to each other when we were on the phone laughing and giggling and having a good time and trying to get this team back on the same page.
All right, multiple issues. First off, the second time he says it wasn't about accountability after saying it was. Here's the other thing. He clearly tips off he got this from either Maxey or Embiid or both, because he said he's literally on the phone with them and they're getting
both. It must be both, right?
Yeah, both.
The best part of it is he said, one way or another, I wound up on the phone. What did you butt dial them by accident?
Right, exactly.
I mean, no, they called you.
And he talked to them.
Yes.
So, John, now what? I really don't know what the answer is. Now what? Like, I'm not saying big picture Sixers. I'm saying just this issue. So was it not really a strong delivery from Maxey to Embiid? Are they trying to do damage control? Is Maxey trying to do damage control?
Why are they now pulling back on the narrative that that Maxey was, I don't know, setting his foot down?
You know, I still wonder if a Sixers staff
guy.
I wonder if a Sixers staffer leaked it to try to embarrass Embiid, and Maxey's not happy about it, and he's trying to cover, particularly with his friendship with Joel.
Like, I mean, James, I wish, I hope Shams is right. Like, I
do too.
I really hope that it's not just like giggly and like, oh, no big deal, Joel. We don't care if you're late for everything. Like, I want them to be angry with
Joel. Of course.
Yeah. So, like, I don't know what to believe. It feels like damage control. It feels like Maxey doesn't want it out there that he, like, got on Embiid, is my guess. But I honestly don't know.
Ben, you have a theory here?
I think something had to be said to him. He just signs this big deal. He's not playing. And he's late for everything. It needed to be addressed.
Yeah. Totally. But now we don't even know. Was it addressed or was it not addressed?
It was addressed.
It was definitely 100% addressed.
Do you think some damage control here is...
I think what... I'm okay with this because I think they have to walk on eggshells with Joel Embiid, and we're learning that more and more every day. But what this did after the fact with Joel saying, really, the first reference to it was, we had a meeting? That was Joel pretending, you know, passive-aggressively pretending there was, wait, what? This worked out. In the grand scheme of things, Joel, while initially butthurt, is now, okay, I guess maybe those guys have a point.
I don't know
what makes you say that.
What makes you say that?
I think it's the opposite. This is the opposite. This is like,
no,
this is the opposite, John. This is them publicly trying to change the narrative publicly and being like, no, we weren't that upset with Joel.
I agree with James.
Joel's not as bad as that report made it seem. Like, this is the exact opposite of what you're talking
about. I'm with James, yeah. I don't think it looks good.
Look, I'm not saying Joel gets off the hook here. I'm saying it's possible that there's a sliding scale that I jumped a little too angrily initially.
Well, look, one of the big keys is, who did Shams get it from? And what was the intent of the person behind whom he got it from?
I trust Shams.
Well, who do you think?
No, I trust...
No, my point is, I trust Shams not to put something out there that he doesn't know is absolutely true.
Well, no, there's been no pushback that it was not true, because all they're saying now is, blown out of proportion.
Well, but that's a form of pushback. If they got on the phone with Lou Williams and said, hey, Lou, this wasn't what it's being reported as.
But isn't it notable it's an NBA player, a former teammate, whatever, like a guy who's got a connection to Philly who's talking out, as opposed to the reporter whose job it is to know what's going on in the NBA, to have all the sources in the NBA. Like, I trust Shams more than I trust Lou Williams, is what I'm trying to say.
I do too, but I'll also say this. It is possible the Sixers, a staffer, a PR person, the general manager.
My point is, I think Shams has so many sources in that building that he's not just going to have one coach or guy come to him and say he's going to follow up on it. He's a reporter, man. He's a journalist. Shams is not going to take one thing from one person and just go with it.
If he gets it from the coach of the Sixers, I think he reports it. I don't think he needs a second person. If the head coach of the Sixers says, "Hey, let me tell you what happened in a meeting," I don't think Shams.
But when people break stories like that, they like to confirm it with at least three people. I mean, that's
journalism.
The three people thing has always been the rule.
I think there's some validity to what you said about the Sixers trying to light a fire under him.
That's why I think it came out, Ben.
That's what I'm thinking.
My theory is enabling him to be a baby.
I know, but it's a different way to try to get at him. I'm not saying it's great. I'm just saying I think it's what it is.
I think it might be that, but I still think what Shams is reporting is true is my point. I think the Sixers wanted it out there, but I think the truth is out there. I don't believe this comeback from Maxie and Embiid that it wasn't as bad as they say it was.
No, I agree with you, James. I guess my irritation as we further the story is I'm annoyed if Tyrese Maxey's walking it back.
I agree with that. Yes, 100%.
What if he doesn't have to? Joel is going to shut down and the team's not going to be a functional unit.
They're already not a functional unit.
Then have an uncomfortable relationship with a teammate.
I understand. From the view that we're getting now, I think once I see it all now like this, I never realized how impetuous this star could be and how damaging that could be to those around him.
I'm trying to factor that into this stuff now. But by the way, I want to play one other piece of audio, and then we'll get to the phones. I want to get to a lot of calls. I want to play something Brandon Graham said to us on Tuesday. So BJ in studio with us every Tuesday, and we got into a pretty lengthy conversation about, with no Fletcher and no Jason Kelce, the leadership void and who filled it. In the midst of his answer, he said something about Jalen Hurts that was fascinating. He clearly did not want to elaborate much, and he told us as much by saying, there are things I don't tell you guys, and I respect that. But listen to what he said about Jalen last year to this year, and then factor that into sometimes uncomfortable conversations have to be had with teammates to try to make them a better player, better teammate, and ultimately a better team. Listen to something BG said about Hurts to us 2 days ago. Was there a shift to have to replace Fletcher Cox and Jason Kelce, not just as players?
Hold on, we're going to turn that off.
I just want to get right to the short version of what Brandon Graham said specifically about Jalen Hurts in the midst of his answer.
Of course, you know, you got to go with Jay, because Jay, he definitely addressed a lot of stuff that people don't know outside of this that we don't discuss on here.
Now, I respect that he's saying, I'm not going to tell you what I know, because Brandon Graham doesn't have a responsibility to tell us what he knows. But what he's, you know, all of it, you know.
Active player, too. Yeah, he shouldn't tell us, yeah.
But what he's saying is, because it was an answer where he named multiple players, this guy's doing this, this guy, yeah, we had to replace Fletcher, we had to replace Jason, there's a void. Guys got to step up, and guys stepped up. And the first name he said was Jalen Hurts. But in the midst of saying Jalen Hurts, he said basically what you just heard. He made some alterations. Someone challenged, some combination of people challenged Jalen Hurts, and he's saying Jalen Hurts is a better teammate. Good. My point as it relates to Maxie and Embiid, I like if Maxie challenged Embiid. I don't like if he's walking it back. Because
It's possible that it's so out of control that they have kowtowed and bent over backwards to Joel for so long that they have to walk it back no matter what, because this is such a departure from what he's accustomed to.
Well, it's like saying never force Ben Simmons to shoot. If your strategy is I'm afraid to tell him I'm not going to play you unless you shoot five times from the outside, it's a losing formula. It's just losing.
Well, in Ben's case, it turned out that he was so damaged by the way we dealt with him and his family dealt with him and everything else that we never were able to get the most out of him.
Well, he's so,
that going to be the end result with Joel?
All right. Let's get a lot of calls in here. Corey Clement joins us in the 8 o'clock hour. By the way, Jason Kelce, of course, usually with us at this time in studio. Jason not able to be in studio today. He's going to be on the program later today. So Jason at 9 o'clock by phone. And obviously, I was going to say next week we'd have him, but next week Thursday's Thanksgiving. But you guys know the drill. Typically, Jason in studio Thursdays from 7:30 to 8:30. But with his busy schedule, he had to make an adjustment this week. He'll be with us by phone at 9 o'clock. Let's go to the phones. Let's talk to Mike, whether it's Eagles, Sixers, whatever it might be. Mike, good morning, pal.
Yo, you know what we're going to talk this morning? Is this a place that you frequent often, this buffet?
Well, the Borgata one, I'd say about twice a month because I normally take a nap after our show on Friday. And if I wake up before 2 while that place is still open, I go there. And I never had thought to tip the guy. And then I thought the other day, maybe I'm supposed to. And then I said, well, I got to ask the show, what do I tip the guy? It's a buffet.
So twice a month, I would say that's a semi-regular.
I agree.
And, you know, they recognize you there.
Yeah, I don't know about that. It's a big place.
20 bucks, Joe.
20 bucks? The meal is 22 bucks. I'm not giving a 20 buck tip.
20 bucks for a one-time tip for, like, the next year?
Yeah, it's a Christmas bonus. 20 bucks.
No. Each time. Because you know what, Joe? Again, maybe you don't realize it. They're like, oh, there's that guy that's ranting and raving out in the hallways that we see him all the time. You want to have a good presence about it, Joe. Wow. What you're doing is, Joe, you're investing in the way you are being perceived in Borgata.
No, so not, look at it from that perspective. Mike, are you saying you should be buying people's silence?
You're making me feel bad now, Mike. You really are.
$5 does not cut it, Joe. And $10 just looks
fine. I was leaving zero until the last time. It never even dawned on me.
20
to tip the buffet guy.
You never left anything?
Not for the buffet guy.
Outrageous.
I get the food myself.
You are an embarrassment to the WIP right now.
That's embarrassing.
Yes. Joe, you've left zero.
Yes. Especially,
that's horrendous.
They literally hand you one drink.
I don't care.
Yeah, but
I do.
$5 is not going to make or break you.
Social decorum, my friend.
How long has this been going on?
Yes.
We're living in a society here.
Typical St. Joe prep guy.
It's like a couple years.
Wow.
Unbelievable.
Joe, this has been a couple years.
Year and a half.
A couple years of stiffing. How do they feel about all of us? Here comes that guy again.
Awful. Here comes the non-tipper again.
For the love of God. All right, Mike, what do you got? Mike, what do you got on the Eagles? I'm changing the subject. What do you got? What?
So I think slow starts is 100% about getting Jalen comfortable. Look, this has been new for him, doing the under center, staying, you know, we don't see that much, but staying in the pocket. I seriously think this is all about getting Jalen comfortable. Look, AJ, Devontae, Saquon, they don't need a quarter to get revved up and see what the defense is throwing at them. They can steamroll any freaking defense out there. So I think this is all about getting Jalen's comfort level. Look, we kind of see it. Like, he just looks slow in the first quarter. He just looks slow in the first possession. Like, it just looks like he's scanning the field, wanting to get a feel of what they're going to throw at him. So I think it's all about Jalen, the comfort level. And quite honestly, as long as he gets better throughout the game, which he has been in the last
few weeks,
You know,
but I will tell you this, Mike. When you face tougher competitions,
agreed.
Whew, man, I mean, you can't, because look, the defense has held them in, but it's hard to imagine the defense would do that in the Super Bowl against the Bills. You know what I mean? Like, if you're facing Josh Allen instead of, you know, Deshaun Watson, that's a different deal, man. Mike, give me a great answer. Yeah, Mike, best female character ever in a sports movie.
We're going to go a little different here, Joe. We're going to go with Katniss Everdeen, The Hunger Games.
I don't think that's a sport movie.
The Hunger Games a sport? Kind of. I mean, it kind of is, man.
Kind of.
It's the ultimate sport, really.
It's absolutely a sport.
I'll think about it. I don't know.
I'm kind of with you on that.
That's Lord of the Flies. That's every person for themselves and go try to live.
But it's a sport. Like they train for it. It's athletic. Like they have different skill sets.
Well, you get my point. It's survival. That's all I'm saying. You know. All right, Corey Clement. Man, he survived in the NFL for a long time. Undrafted free agent to player that ultimately played about 6-7 years in pro football. He's going to be on our program coming up later in the show, and we really look forward to the first time ever having him on the show. Now, he contributed so much to that season, including, of course, this massive play in the third quarter of the Super Bowl.
Three receivers, now four. Shotgun, four. Second and 10. Bowles back again. He's looking. He's pumping. He is going deep. And is it a touchdown? I'm awaiting the signal.
It is.
It is. Touchdown. It goes all the way down. A 22-yard touchdown to Clement.
I can't wait to get him in here. We'll go through the plays, man. The Philly special. You know what people forget, or at least don't think enough about, is the 55-yard catch and run before the first half. Yep. Without that, there is no Philly special. The reason the ball was all the way down the field, he caught a little dump pass, and he ran 55 freaking yards. So I can't wait to get Corey Clement in here. All right.